ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ब्रज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज कचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज कचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर जी की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर नंबर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 एंड 5 टेक्स्ट 4 श्री ऋषि उवाच जितम तदेव देवदेवेश प्रपन्नार्ती हराच्युता वरेणैतावतालम्नो यद् भवान् समदृश्यत। श्री ऋषिरुवाच जितं तदेव देवेश प्रपन्नार्ती हराच्युता वरेणैतावतालं नो यद्भवान् समदृश्यत। श्री ऋषिरुवाच जितं तदेव देवेश प्रपन्नार्ती हराच्युता वरेणैतावतालं नो यद्भवान् समदृश्यत। Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The sage said, O Lord of Lords, all glories to you. O Lord Achyuta, you remove all distress for the devotees who surrender unto you. That you have allowed me to see you is all the benediction I want. There is no purpose, so we read text number 5. गृहीत्वा जादयो यस्य श्रीमत्पादाब्ज दर्शनम् मनसा योगपक्वेन स भवान् मेक्षिगोचरः। ट्रांसलेशन। सच डेमिगॉड्स एज लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा अचीव देयर एक्सॉल्टेड पोजिशन सिंपली बाय सीइंग योर ब्यूटिफुल लोटस फीट आफ्टर देयर माइंड्स हैड बिकम मैच्योर इन योगा प्रैक्टिस। And now, my Lord, you have personally appeared before me. Purport. Markande Rishi points out that exalted demigods like Lord Brahma achieved their positions simply by glimpsing the Lord's lotus feet. And yet Markande Rishi was now able to see Lord Krishna's entire body. Thus, he could not even imagine the extent of his good fortune. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So this chapter is entitled as Markandeya Rishi Sees the Illusory Potency. And in these verses, after having the darshan of Sri Nar Narayan Rishi, Markandeya Rishi is beginning to offer his prayers, which is generally the tradition that whenever we come in front of the Lord or whenever we see the Lord, first thing is we must glorify the Lord. There are four types of prayers. The first should be prayers of glorification. Generally, when people come in front of God, they simply start expressing their desires and ask for whatever they want. But the first thing that is recommended is we must glorify the Lord. And second is prayers of gratitude. Then we must thank the Lord for whatever He has given us, all the good things. And number three, and of course devotees thank the Lord even for the bad things, because they can see the good even in the miserable circumstances. Number three, prayers for forgiveness. We must express beg forgiveness from the Lord. And number four, then we can express our desire. And Srimad Bhagavatam and various other scriptures, they are simply filled with various prayers. Our Vaishnavacharyas, they have written bhajans. That's also in the same category as the prayers. So this is the natural outpouring of the heart whenever the Lord comes. That's why the Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. And He is the only worthy object of glorification. And He is the only one who deserves the glorification. And naturally, therefore, that glorification comes out whenever He comes in front of anyone. Dhruva Maharaj, we see in the fourth canto, he was just 5 years old. And he had not even gone to school. No education, nothing. But when Lord Vishnu appeared in front of him, naturally he developed a desire to glorify the Lord. So the Lord is someone who naturally withdraws that glorification from anyone. Whether it is Gajendra, the elephant, a small boy like Prahlad or Dhruva, or anyone. So Markandeya Rishi is beginning to pray, and he addresses the Lord as Achyuta. And somebody who removes the distress of his surrendered devotees, Arti Hara. This word Arti also comes in the Gita, where Krishna explains, four types of people come to him, especially those who are in distress. One of those four types of people. And that is why Krishna is known as Dinabandhu Dinanath. He is the only friend of the distressed. So whenever somebody is in distress, who we take shelter of decides whether we are devotees or non-devotees. Many times people, when they are in distress, they go to 10 different people, 10 different things they take shelter of. But a devotee naturally, spontaneously takes shelter of Krishna. Krishna explains, four types of people come to him in the Gita. Those who are in distress, those who are inquisitive, those who are actually searching for the absolute truth, and those who are in need of prosperity, wealth. But we see not all types of people who are in distress in this world, we see them coming to Krishna, or those who need prosperity coming to Krishna. They try various other things also. Many times people who are in distress, they take shelter of bad habits and they destroy themselves. So what does Krishna mean by saying these four types of people come to him? So he adds the word Sukritinaha, the fortunate ones. So if somebody is in distress and he is fortunate, he will come to Krishna rather than going to somebody else. And to that degree, we remember Krishna whenever we are in distress. To that very degree, we are actual devotees. Because generally in this world, people, we see that whenever there is some distress in their life, the first thing that people give up is their spiritual life. They will stop coming to classes, they will stop coming to temple, they will stop chanting. And the excuse is, oh, we are going through some distress, and after we come out, then we can resume our spiritual activities. But amazingly, all the other activities continue. Their enjoyment, the parties, and everything else continues. The only thing which is given up is their spiritual life, and which is the only thing which can bring them out of their distress. We see Srimad Bhagavatam or Gita or Ramayana, for that matter. All these great scriptures manifested when somebody was in distress. Valmiki Muni was in distress when he saw a hunter killing a bird. So he recited, he pronounced a curse, but then he was in distress. Why did he do that? That's when Lord Brahma appeared and he guided him to write Ramayana. Srimad Bhagavatam manifested when Parikshit Maharaj, he was not in distress though. But it was a distressful situation in general, because somebody has been cursed to die within 7 days. Arjuna was in distress, and when Krishna started speaking the Gita, Arjuna did not say, "Don't trouble me, I'm not in a mood to hear your lectures. Let me come out of my illusion and then I will hear." In fact, they all heard. Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita and then he came out of his illusion. Nashta moho smritir labdhva. His intelligence came back. He regained his composure. His illusion was gone. So we need to serve Krishna, practice Krishna consciousness, not when we are out of distress, but to come out of distress when we are in distress. So to the degree we take shelter of Krishna when there is some distress, what to speak of when things are going our way? To that very degree we are devotees. So therefore, a devotee is never in distress. Distress comes when we think that certain situations are out of our control. But a devotee knows that things may be out of his control, but they are never beyond Krishna's control. So he takes shelter. So where is the reason to be in some sort of distress? So naturally, it is natural for a devotee to take shelter of Krishna when he's in distress. Spontaneous. We see the example of Prahlad. Prahlad is a very, very special case. Now, when he was in distress, there were constant dangers. We see Prahlad even didn't even mention once that, "My dear Lord, protect me." In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, we see he was not in Krishna consciousness apparently, but his mother guided him, take shelter of the Lord, because only by his grace your great grandfather Brahma is sitting on his position. Your grandfather Swayambhu Manu enjoyed the opulences of this world, and she didn't mention, but she also meant that by his grace only your father, who didn't allow you to sit on his lap, is sitting on this position as the emperor of the universe. So same thing Markanda Rishi also mentions in this particular verse, text number 5. So Dhruva Maharaj went, he was in distress, and he was fortunate enough that he was guided to the right person. Akamah sarva kamova moksha kama udarati. Bhagavatam says, whether somebody is full of desires, no desires or full of or wants liberation, the only person worth approaching is Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was in need of prosperity. He approached Lord Vishnu and he was blessed with more than he could ever desire. The Lord made him the king of his own planet. Because Dhruva Maharaj had a desire which nobody had ever had before him or after him also. As a 5-year-old boy, he wanted a position greater than his great-grandfather. Position of Brahma is the greatest within the universe. When you talk about living entities, he wanted a position greater than Lord Brahma. So only the Lord has a planet, a local Vaikuntha planet within the universe. That's the only place which is higher than Brahma Loka. But the Lord was so pleased, as he mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, anybody who pleases me, I must fulfill all his desires. All his desires must be fulfilled, material or spiritual. So the only place that existed beyond Brahmaloka within the universe was the Lord's own planet. And the Lord gave that to Dhruva. And since then, that planet is not known as Vaikuntha, it is known as Dhruvaloka. The Lord made Dhruva Maharaj the king of his own house, own home, the own planet. And is still living there. We see Gajendra when he's in distress. So Krishna is known as the friend of the distressed. Deen Bandhu. But that doesn't apply just to humans or demigods. We see Gajendra is in the body of an elephant. When he was in distress, he called out. And the only person who came out to help Gajendra was Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. His family members could not protect him. His friends, relatives could not protect him. He himself could not protect. The demigods were watching, but they could not protect. They did not come down to protect. So a friend in need is a friend indeed. Now, his friends and relatives, they tried their best, but they were powerless in front of this crocodile within that lake. The demigods had the powers. They could have easily protected Gajendra, but they did not come down to help. And they were talking, he didn't mention my name. It's like such things require invitation. So it was not a wedding going on that they needed some invitation to enter. It was somebody's in distress, question of life and death. Not just for a moment, for 1,000 years the battle went on, and for all those years they were watching, it didn't come to help. So why should we worship the demigods? Krishna clearly mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, less intelligent people worship demigods. So with them, it's like business. You give them something, they will give you something in return. That's it. So they did not come to help. So they are not real friends. A friend in need is a friend indeed. The only person, when Gajendra was calling out, he did not even mention the name of the Lord, because he didn't know. An elephant is a dumb animal. He didn't even know that this is the name of the Lord. But he knew there was some power. But the Lord knew who Gajendra was calling out for, and he remembered his past life, because in past life he was King Indradumna, great devotee. So the Lord remembered everything. So once we establish a relationship with Krishna, it is eternal. He takes care of us in this lifetime and all the other lifetimes as well. So the Lord remembered, even though Gajendra did not remember, and he did not even mention the name, still Lord Vishnu came running. He was so eager to come and save Gajendra. Now this is a real friend. First of all, a friend in need. And secondly, he did not wait for his name to be mentioned. This is a real friend. Whenever we are in need, we don't even need to tell the friend, or he just has to know that we are in distress. He comes running without an invitation. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. So Krishna is the real friend of the distressed. He uses the word arti hara, one who removes, takes away all the distress. Hara. So that's why the name Hari also comes. So people think Hari means, so they are scared of worshipping Krishna because they think he is Hari. So Hari means whatever I have, he'll take away. All my wealth, all my enjoyment, all my property. And Prabhupada says Krishna is not hungry or Krishna is not poor. He is Lakshmipati. He is the possessor of 6 opulences. He doesn't need our wealth or food, anything. People are even scared of offering food to Krishna. Like one person was mentioning, but he has everything now, so why does he need? He does not need. We need to offer for our own benefit. Like Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers, Naivatmanah Prabhurayam Nijalabh Purno Manam Janadya Vidushah Karuno Vrinito Yadyajjano Bhagavati Vidhita Manam Tachatmane Pratimukhasya Yathamukhashri. That whenever we offer something to the Lord, it is for our own benefit. Because he has everything, he doesn't need it. And he gives a nice analogy, just like when something is offered to the real person, the image in the mirror automatically gets it. My dear Lord, you are the real person and we are the image in the mirror. If we offer you something, we will automatically get it. So this is the Lord's kindness. That's why the Lord eats everything when we offer him bhoga and still leaves it as it is. Because he knows our mentality, Kali Yuga people especially, they're not in the mood of giving. They want to enjoy. And therefore the Lord very mercifully leaves everything as prasad. Imagine if he starts eating up everything that we offer. There will be very few people who would offer. Only the real devotees would offer. So he's not in need of our food. He has Srimati Radharani who cooks every day. Morning she goes to Nandagaon to cook. And evening after Krishna comes back after herding the cows, after he has his bath, he eats special sweets sent to him by Srimati Radharani, cooked in early evening also she cooks. But that time she cooks either in Javat or Barsana. And from there she sends it through 2 of her sakhis, and then that's what Krishna eats with milk, all the sweets that Radharani sends. And they taste like nectar, and as Prabhupada said, she never repeats any item. So sweets also will be different. So why would Krishna need our food? Why would Krishna need our wealth? So why should we be therefore miserly in offering him whatever we have? Anything that we have, like Markandeya Rishi says, even Lord Brahma, the position that he has, and the other demigods, they are all by Krishna's grace. Krishna has only given. So everything anyways belongs to Krishna. We come into this world empty-handed, we go also empty-handed. In the middle, we claim proprietorship over things that we have. So when we were not here, this world was existing. When we'll be gone, this world would continue to exist. So nothing is ours. But in the middle, if we keep claiming proprietorship, and we say, this is mine, and then we don't even want to share it back with the Lord. So that's, Srila Prabhupada said, that's called a thief. You claim proprietorship over somebody else's property, and then you say, it's mine. And then Prabhupada said, we are all thieves like that, small or big thieves. Everything belongs to Krishna, but still, it doesn't mean that we say that our house belongs to Krishna, or our money belongs to Krishna. Everything we have belongs to Krishna. So people do not understand that just by saying this thing, Krishna will not take these things away. So they are scared of even mentioning this. Everything is Krishna's, and this money, that's mine. So because there is that lack of faith. When we know that Krishna is not in need of any of these things, He just needs our consciousness. That's why Srila Prabhupada named the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We just have to acknowledge that everything we have, all the abilities, intelligence, talents, everything is by Krishna's grace. And the moment we tend to forget, that's when Krishna, to the degree we are dear to Krishna, the sooner He will smash our pride. That's why once Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning Indra. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam we find Indra committing one mistake after the other. Now, somebody might just get a bad impression about Indra. What is he doing sitting on the throne of Indra? One thing after the other, he kills his guru. He has an affair with somebody else's wife. He attacks Krishna again and again. Krishna has appeared on Indra's request and he is attacking him. He humbled him in Govardhan Leela. He wanted to kill all his dearest devotees. And Krishna protected him again and again and again. And when Krishna wanted one Parijat tree, he attacked him with all his might. So one might wonder, what is this person Krishna has selected for the post of Indra? Not one good thing he has done. But then we understand that Srimad Bhagavatam was written by Vyasadeva after he got chastised by Narad Muni. And he has done no compromise. Srimad Bhagavatam is only meant for the exclusive glorification of Krishna. We see in this, Brahma makes mistakes. Indra makes mistakes. And we see even Lord Shiva is subservient to Lord Vishnu. So he makes mistakes. Sides with the king of Kashi in 10th canto, it is explained. Banasur, he protects. So Srimad Bhagavatam is showing that except Krishna, everyone has faults. It is only meant for the exclusive glorification of Krishna, and therefore it begins with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. So, just because all the mistakes Indra had done are mentioned, doesn't mean that he only does mistakes. Specifically, Bhagavatam highlights these mistakes just to glorify Krishna. Like Lord Shiva mentions to Krishna after this battle on behalf of King Kashi that he did, where he got defeated. He said, "My dear Lord, I only fought with you just so that people know that you are supreme." So similarly, Shukadeva Goswami mentioned the mistakes that Indra does just to glorify Krishna. However, he is a very, very great personality and very, very dear to Krishna. That is why as soon as he makes a mistake, Krishna is there to rectify. He chastises him, he slaps him, he punishes him. But every time Indra is in trouble, Krishna incarnates. He comes personally. So it's easy to just defy Indra, but we have to understand his position. And since he's very, very dear to Krishna, when he does yajna in the Swarga Loka, Krishna personally appears to accept. And he is personally living in Indraloka as his younger brother, Upendra, Vamanadev. Every day Indra is having yajnas and he's offering and he's having darshan of Lord Vamanadev. And Lord Vamanadev, every day he assures him, you don't have to worry, you should not be in the fear of the demons. So he's very, very dear. That's why every time he makes a mistake, Krishna immediately protects. It's like a mother. Now she might be seeing so many children on the street and they are doing all kinds of things. She's not so bothered. But when her own child makes a mistake, she immediately rectifies that mistake, corrects the child, because he is very close. So Krishna is also like that, that the more we are dear to him, the sooner he will rectify our mistake. So the sooner we get a reaction for our mistake, we should be happy. We should know that Krishna actually cares and we are very dear. And Maharaj was mentioning once, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that if we are making mistake after mistake after mistake, and or if we see somebody making mistake after mistake after mistake, we are specifically talking about the in particular the devotee circle and in general also. If you see somebody making mistake after mistake and mistake after mistake and he's not even getting any reaction, we should not, Krishna is disgusted with that person and he's just allowing him to go on committing mistakes and then destroy himself. So this is Krishna. He's very, very, like Srila Prabhupada says, when he was giving the purport to this particular bhajan, Jai Radha Madhav Kunj Bihari Gopi Jan Vallabh Giri Vardhari. So Prabhupada said, so this movement is meant to make everyone a Gopi Jana. And Krishna is Gopi Jan Vallabh. And he is showing that if you become dear to me, if you take shelter of me, I can even lift a mountain to protect you. So Govardhan Leela was a pastime where everybody was in so much in distress. The clouds which could destroy the entire universe within seconds, they were directed towards one small village. And that's why the residents of Vrindavan are the highest devotees. Because distress, although other times they only think of Krishna as their child, their friend, their beloved, and they are in the mood of Krishna needs us. Yashoda Mai is thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, he will become weak. His friends are thinking he is inferior to us. Shridama thinks I defeated him. When Krishna had lifted Govardhan, Shridama was looking at him and he was thinking, I defeated him in wrestling match 2 days back. So if he can lift Govardhan, I can also do. Madhu Mangal is thinking Krishna is not, because everybody was worried. Yashoda Mai was worried. And Madhu Mangal is telling Yashoda Mai, you don't worry. Krishna is not holding Govardhan. It is my Brahma Tejas. And Krishna has just stood under Govardhan and just put his finger. Actually, Govardhan is anyways floating by my Brahma Tejas. And the cowherd men, they are putting sticks under Govardhan just to help Krishna hold Govardhan. He might not feel tired. And Yashoda Mai is chastising Krishna. I told you, you have to be careful, behave yourself. Abhi dekho kya kar liya sar pe. Nahi, pahad utha liya. Lifted a mountain. He's such a restless child, and she's feeding him laddus. He has drops of perspiration. She's wiping it with her veil, and she's chastising Madhu Mangal because he's having fun with Krishna. But the residents of Vrindavan, you see, even though they consider Krishna to be inferior to them, but inbuilt system. That's why they are the highest devotees. Naturally, whenever there is distress, they call out to Krishna. Totally contradictory. They only run towards Krishna. They take shelter of Krishna. And immediately after that danger is gone, they are again joking with Krishna. They are jumping on his shoulders and they think he needs us. So this is a resident of Vrindavan. Naturally, whenever there is distress, he takes shelter of it. He takes shelter of the Lord. And this is the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So after hearing, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, if we do not internalize this one principle, small or big, any type of distress, impending danger, or the danger that might come, we just take shelter of Krishna. When Nanda Maharaj was returning from Mathura, so Vasudev had told him that you better get back to Gokul because there might be some disturbances in Gokul. So when Nanda Maharaj was returning, he actually started contemplating the words of Vasudev, and he knew that Vasudev's words never proved false ever in the future, in the past. So there might be some truth. So there might be actually disturbances in Gokul. What did he do? He just simply took shelter of Lord Hari. Hari Jagam Sharanam. Again and again, this it is Kali Yuga mentality. I think till Dwapar Yuga also, till the beginning of Kali Yuga also, nobody knew anything else except taking shelter of the Lord. In Sati Yuga, when the stepmother of Dhruva chastised Dhruva, you can't sit on the lap of your father because you are not born from my womb. Even though she is talking out of envy, but that was Sati Yuga. Even in envy, people would not direct anybody to somebody else when they needed some help. She said, if you want to sit on the lap of your father, go and worship Lord Vishnu. And just the opposite of Sati Yuga is Kali Yuga, where except the Lord, people are told to take shelter of everything else. And that is why people suffer the most. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the only problem in this world is lack of Krishna consciousness. Compared to the other yugas, problems are actually less. We don't have demons who can just eat us up immediately. We had those demons till Dwapar Yuga. We don't have weapons which can destroy the universe in 1 second. But still, people suffer the most in Kali Yuga. The only reason is because they don't take shelter. And Bhagavatam is therefore the scripture for Kali Yuga. It teaches how to deal with those challenges, reversals in life, how to deal with distress. And that is taking shelter of somebody who is the real friend of the distressed. As Markandeya Rishi mentions here, Arti Hara. And his Achyuta also, another name he addresses Krishna with. Achyuta means, Prabhupada says, two meanings, one who never falls down from his position. This word is used by Arjuna also in the Gita. Achyuta. That means he is God. And he will continue to be God. It's not like 5,000 years ago also you mentioned Krishna was God. Today also you are saying Krishna is God. Who will be God after 5,000 years? No. Only Krishna is known as Achyuta. And there is no competition for this position of God. No competition. And another meaning of Achyuta, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that he never fails in keeping his promise. And he has promised. Name bhaktaha pranashyati. My devotee will never perish. Also he mentions to Narad Muni in some Purana or Bhagavat also that, my dear Narada, as soon as somebody remembers me who is in distress, anybody who in distress remembers me, now he doesn't say devotee or non-devotee, anyone who remembers me when he is in distress, I immediately run to that person with my Sudarshan Chakra in my hand. Lord Ram says, Sakrudeva prapannaya tavasmiti yachate abhayam sarvabhutebhyo tadami etatpratam mama. Anybody who comes to me, even once, he says, my dear Lord, from this moment I am yours. From that moment I grant him eternal fearlessness. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam praja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma shuchaha. Do not worry, do not be anxious, do not be distressed. Just come to me. Again and again he is calling out. He comes again and again just to let us know that he is the real protector, he is the maintainer. And therefore, the best way in any situation is to keep taking shelter of the one who is the real friend of those who are in distress. That way we will be able to remember Krishna in all times. As Radhanath Maharaj mentions, in good times, thank Krishna, and in bad times, take shelter of Krishna. So in both the times we need to remember Krishna. And even in times of distress, if we have remembered Krishna, then our life is a success. And he also mentions one very important point, that the auspiciousness of any situation is judged by how it brings us closer to Krishna. If it's an adversity and it helps us come closer to Krishna, then we should know this is the best thing that has happened to us. But if it is prosperity and it takes away from Krishna, that's the worst thing that could happen to us. So the common factor is remembrance of Krishna in happiness or distress. That decides whether we are fortunate or unfortunate in any situation. By His grace only, such demigods as Lord Brahma achieve their exalted position simply by seeing your beautiful lotus feet after their minds had become mature in yoga practice. So the more we take shelter of Krishna, keeping Him in our mind in times of distress and prosperity as well, the more we become yogis. Who is the greatest yogi? Yogi nam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yamam samay yukta tamo mataha. Anybody who can remember the Lord always. So if we can remember Krishna in good times and bad times, then we become the greatest yogis. And then we become qualified to see Krishna. So here he is mentioning that demigods like Lord Brahma achieve their exalted position simply by seeing your beautiful lotus feet after their minds had become mature in yoga practice, because they focus their mind on Krishna. So if we can also learn to focus our mind on Krishna always, then we also will be able to see His beautiful lotus feet, lotus face, His form. And then exalted position in the next life is guaranteed. Our devotee does not want exalted position, not in the material world. He doesn't want any exalted position. So that is why devotee's position is so special. He doesn't desire anything. He doesn't even pray for residence in the spiritual world. And it happens naturally. He is just satisfied with service. Why would we want something else? Because we are lacking something, we are hankering for something, because we think we don't have something, but we are dissatisfied. But a devotee is completely satisfied just by serving Krishna. So he doesn't even ask for a residence in the spiritual world. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he says, I don't mind being born as an insect, as long as you give me birth in the home of a devotee. Because at least I'll get to eat the remnants, I'll get to hear your katha and kirtan in a devotee's home. This must go on. And he also says, I do not want a position of Brahma, the exalted position of Brahma, if it is devoid of devotional service. He doesn't want that. So this happens naturally. It's not that a devotee has to try for this. Devotional service to Krishna is so satisfying that all that hankering and lamentation stops. It's like you have got $1 million. This is just like an understatement, but say we got $1 million. So we don't repent, we don't lament for the loss of 10 rupees. So if our consciousness is fixed on Krishna, we are convinced that Krishna consciousness is the best thing, then we don't lament for the other losses that we might have to face in this world on a material platform. So when the mind is focused on Krishna, something higher, automatically our mind is not getting engrossed in the lower taste. Param drishtva nivartate. The only problem, as 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam explains, ultimately everything boils down to the mind. And everything that has many, because mind is the central point of all the senses. Whatever we contemplate within the mind, that will manifest. What we are at the moment is because of our mind's condition only. It is a part of the subtle body. So if we contemplate Krishna, then Prabhupada says we get Krishnaized, we get spiritual world, we get a spiritual body, we regain our spiritual nature. If we contemplate Maya, then that's what we fall into. So ultimately, everything boils down to the condition of mind. And that's why if we can just learn to focus the mind on Krishna, then whether we are in distress or whether we are prosperous, then we become the greatest yogis, and naturally then an exalted position in the next life is guaranteed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.